Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Our Father, we come before you and we thank you for the Holy Spirit who lives in us and who works in us. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to set our eyes on the Spirit and giving the control to him, giving our cooperation to the Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would help us in our interactions with others, in our interactions with unsaved people and believers, those in the church, those in our families, outside of our families, in our workplaces, and so on, that we would walk by the Spirit, and so that all eyes would see Jesus Christ. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. So the Holy Spirit seeks to develop this fruit known as gentleness. Gentleness is not a virtue that I really believe we're lining up to get most of the time. And probably you stop and say, when was the last time you even heard someone preach on gentleness? I think this is probably the first sermon I've ever preached on just gentleness by itself. We'd rather have mighty, powerful, impressive shows of strength, but not gentleness. Gentle people, we tend to think, are weak. Maybe lack of a better term, that they're wimps. Gentle people get walked over, we think. Gentle people lose. Gentle people get ignored. They're soft targets. They get laughed at. They don't get things done. And if it's all the same to you, I think I'll bypass this whole idea, the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, because I find that when I push, that's how I get things done. Isn't that kind of how our world is wired? It's the forceful. It's the ones who shove the hardest that seem to win. In the workplace, in the family, it's the ones who speak the loudest, it's the one who talks the most, it's the one who jumps in and just barrels their way through. And of course, we need drive, right? And so we kind of tend to mix this up a little bit. And I think Chuck Swindoll pretty well describes the prevailing attitude toward gentleness. And then he gives the corrective. He says, in our rough and rugged individualism, we think of gentleness as weakness, being soft, and virtually spineless. Not so. Gentleness includes such enviable qualities as having strength under control, being calm and peaceful when surrounded by a heated atmosphere. Pause there for a second. Have you ever been in a heated atmosphere and you just saw someone who was just in control of themselves? Just calm. And they become someone that others look to and say, you know what? They are not losing it. He goes on, he says, peaceful when surrounded by a heated atmosphere, emitting a soothing effect on those who may be angry or otherwise beside themselves, and processing or possessing tact and gracious courtesy that causes others to retain their dignity. Instead of losing, the gentle gain. Instead of being ripped off and taken advantage of, they come out ahead. Now that's something worth striving for. Now, Holy Spirit driven gentleness might seem to lose. Some of the things that he's saying up here don't happen immediately. In the long view, though, when it really matters, gentleness has a great power that I want to showcase for you today, and it is the power to win people to the life that Christ wants for them. So are you a gentle person? Are your family members describing you as a gentle person? Would your spouse say that you are gentle? Would people who know you the best and work with you the most and the closest and for the longest times of period and they see you in all kinds of situations, would they say that you're gentle? Hey, we all miss it when it comes to gentleness at times. And I think what the Spirit wants us to do is to rely on Him and to cooperate with Him and develop this area. And so I want to talk about the winning power of gentleness this morning. The winning power, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, is our base text. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. But we're going to go some other places as well. And the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, and the Greek word is praotes, and what it means is meekness, mildness, humility. So there are all kinds of ways to describe this, meekness, mildness, humility. There's a forbearance here. And the opposite of gentleness is to be a rough person, harsh, violent, critical, super critical, forcing our will on someone else. You're going to see it my way, and you're going to do what I want you to do, and I'm going to force this thing, and no reasoning behind it, no gentleness to say, here's my heart in what's going on. There's a related word in the Greek New Testament, and it's often translated meekness. And the Greek word was used in ancient times outside of the Bible in a number of ways. It was used to speak of a wild stallion that was trained and tamed. It was also used to speak of some soothing medicine. You ever gone to the doctor and you've gotten soothing medicine, maybe for a burn? And that's what mildness and gentleness really is. It was also used outside of the New Testament by a child in ancient times, speaking of the doctor, to be tender with the child, asking the doctor to be tender. And that's what gentleness really is. Gentleness and meekness are basic to the Christian character, but they're powerful. And you can choose to try to move people with force, or you can try to choose to move them through gentleness. And we think that the way to get it all done is a grand show of might. And yet, if Jesus had taken that approach, not a single one of us would come to God. So take a look at gentleness. Now, I'm not going to put anything more on the PowerPoint. I'm just going to ask you to just fill in the blanks as you go. But think about this, the power of a gentle word. Proverbs 25, verse 15, by long forbearance, a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks bone. You ever thought about that? A gentle tongue breaks bone. There is a force in gentleness that is driven by the Spirit that accomplishes things that couldn't be accomplished otherwise. And here's something to think about as parents and as husbands and as wives. You may win the argument, but you'll lose the heart, right? You know, you're interacting with your kids and you're going back and forth and interacting, and you might win that argument because you overcame them and you spoke it and you said the most and you dominated the situation, but you didn't win their hearts, did you? They walk away and say, I didn't hear a thing they said. And then with a spouse, you might say, I have the dominant ruling force in this house, whether you're the husband or the wife, but your husband or wife checked out years ago. Gentleness. A fruit of the Spirit. Gentle people win people. They win relationships. They win godliness. They win hearts. It's when we surrender to the power of the Spirit and accept His control to use the strength that He's given to gently influence others. That's when we truly win. Now, everybody has seen a llama, probably. And when I think of a llama, I think of gentleness. A llama is really a weird-looking animal. It originates in the Andes Mountains. They're exceptionally strong. They can carry long or heavy weights for long distances. And these animals, they're just amazing, and they're very valuable because of their wool. And people really like to have them, not just here in America, over in other places of the world. But llamas are excellent companions for people because they're so gentle. In medical facilities, they actually have llamas that go in, and their therapy for these people, it gives them an emotional lift because they're so gentle, they're nice companions, they're easy to handle, they have a soothing temperament for therapy. And but llamas are also good for handling sheep. Llamas bond with the sheep, and these gentle, powerful creatures. But you know what? Llamas are not pushovers. Llamas are fearless. Llamas, when they see a coyote coming to kill the sheep, while the sheep are running and all the animals are running away, the llama actually, instead of running from the coyote, starts walking toward the coyote. Looks the coyote right in the eyes, and that just spooks coyotes. It'll actually walk up, a llama will walk up to a coyote, and if he gets the chance, he'll kill the coyote. Fearless, brave, powerful, but gentle. Strength under control, knowing who the real enemy really is. Knowing where the force ought to be brought, at what time against satanic enemies, fleshly attitudes in ourselves and so on. But gentleness does not crush people. Now, take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. And our point A there is we are commanded to put on gentleness. We are commanded to put on gentleness. This is a command. In point one, we are commanded to put on gentleness. This is not your personality is you're just a bull in a china shop and you're just going to have to deal with me. No, this is not a personality issue. Though I realize some personalities lend toward gentleness or otherwise more readily. But this is not something that you say, this is negotiable. Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. So if you are an elect of God, if you're saved, if you're truly a genuine believer, here's the command in the Greek, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. Anybody got something to forgive somebody? I was prayed just this morning. Help us to forgive. Help us to grant forgiveness. Help us to receive forgiveness. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. We are commanded to put on gentleness. Point A, gentleness is basic to Christian character. It's just basic. And the text, the idea in verse 12 is this, put on right now. Don't wait till the end of the service. Put on right now gentleness. It seems so mechanical, doesn't it? And yet that's what the text says. Just put it on. That's our basic calling. That's just not my personality. I'm a black and white person. No, listen, if you're a believer, he's giving you the strength to be gentle. And take it a step further, turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, just back a couple of books in your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. We tend to want to look at others and look at their faults and look at the things that we can criticize in them and we want to run over them. And you know what? People will sin against us, right? But we've got to ask ourselves, do we ever sin against anybody else? Of course we do. Ephesians chapter 4, I therefore, verse 1, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Now, how do you walk worthy? With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another. Now, we've been told right now, twice, to bear with others. So point B, without gentleness, we cannot live worthy of the gospel. How many of you want to get the gospel out? Anybody here? Yeah, we want to get the gospel out. How many of you say, I want my life to be all about Jesus and the gospel? We want that, right? You know one of the ways to do it? You know how to live worthy of the gospel? Gentleness. It's that strong strength that you control and you use it. I'm going to give you a couple of examples, some people from the Bible who are incredibly gentle, but you wouldn't think it in just a moment. But you want to live worthy of the gospel, it's going to have to be through gentleness. We use that term gospel a lot. And I wonder if we really know what it means. The gospel is the good news that God himself has dealt gently with us. That God himself, we being his enemies, sent his son to die for us. He loved us so much. He gave his life on the cross, risen again, and he gives us eternal life when we come to him by faith. And then guess what? Not just eternal life in the future. Right here, he gives us life now. He gives us strength in our insecurities, strength in our fears, strength in all against all of our sins. That's gentleness. God does that for you. But we hide out in our ugliness and we point the finger at somebody else and we say, they're the problem. They did this and they might have done that to you. And God is saying, step back. Step out of the way. You be gentle. You be kind. I don't think anyone here would say that Jesus was weak, right? But I have to tell you, if you had seen Jesus on the cross and if you had seen him whipped and beaten and he doesn't speak a word, you might have been tempted to think he was weak. But Christ could have, in a moment, called legions of angels, and in a moment they would have obeyed, and in a flash of light they would have made that whole place go up and blow up. And Jesus never did that. Instead, he says, Father, forgive them. It looked like Jesus was weak that day. It looked like Jesus lost, but Jesus won. How did he win? He won untold millions and millions of souls to his Father. And hopefully your soul is one of them. And so when you look at that other person, you look at your spouse, or you look at your parents, or you look at your children, or you look at coworkers, or you look at whoever it is around you, and you say, man, what a mess up. Don't forget, the Holy Spirit wants gentleness in your life. The Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, came as one package to give you gentleness. Jesus said, Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon me, or upon you, and learn from me, for I am what? Gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Aren't you glad Jesus said that? He's gentle. But Jesus also got angry, didn't he? Mark chapter 3, verse 5 says very plainly, he got angry. But he always knew where to put his strength, against what enemy, and that enemy is Satan. Philippians 4, 5 says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Is your gentleness known to everyone? You don't have to be perfect. You can mess up. You don't get it right all the time. But is that your desire and your goal and your passion, that you would be gentle, that you would be meek, that you would have your strength under control? Point C, gentleness indicates that God is at work. Gentleness indicates that God is at work. James 3:17, let me just read that to you. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle. Now look at this description almost of gentleness, willing to yield. Are you willing to yield? Or does it always have to be you who wins the argument? Do you always have to have the last word? Do you always have to have the last one-uppance? Gentleness. Not only are we commanded to be gentle, point two, gentleness has the power of God to win people, to win people. 1 Peter chapter 3. Would you just turn there for a moment? 1 Peter chapter 3. I want to talk for a second in the area of marriage. 1 Peter chapter 3. I want to talk to you for a second if you have an unbelieving spouse, or maybe you have a spouse who knows the Lord, but they're not walking with the Lord. What do you do with that person? They're not living what they should be living. They're not doing what they should be doing. So what do you do? Do you force them? Do you say, hey, you need to really get your act together? Do you nag them? Do you confront them all the time with this harsh, bitter way? Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. This is directing it toward wives, but it really could be applied as well in some respects to men. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. This is for ladies directly. You have an unbelieving spouse? I can tell you one way you're not going to win them, and if they are won, it will be in spite of you, is to nag them and to be negative and to be critical and to keep beating them down. You're not going to win them that way. You're just going to drive them away. You have the best option and best opportunity to win your husband either to the Lord as an unbeliever, becoming a believer, or if they're a believer, to win them to that obedient state of what they need to be. The best way is a gentle, quiet spirit. Now, this can apply to men as well in our relationships. We drive people away when we're rude and harsh and demanding and selfish. So a gentle spirit, the underlying power of God. Point B, gentleness may win people who are caught in sin. I see that in Galatians 6:1. Gentleness may win people who are caught in sin. Sometimes we think that if someone is in sin, we need to incinerate them. And we do need to deal with sin, don't we? And we do need to confront. But there is a point where when we think that we've got to really squash someone, is that the heart of the Spirit? Gentleness may win people who are caught in sin. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of what? Gentleness, meekness, considering yourself lest you be tempted. So the next time God calls you to deal with someone who's in sin, you know what you need to do? Stop and say, am I being gentle? Am I being like that llama? Fearless? Firm? We need to say what we need to say, but there's a gentleness, not running roughshod and rude and harsh. Alexander Strauch has written a book called Bite and Devour. We've been using it in our elders' meetings, our board meetings. We've referred to it a number of times here in the auditorium. He writes this. This is a guy, if you listen to this quote, you would say, he's probably a soft, milquetoast, easygoing guy. But no, this guy has seen a ton of conflict in the church. And here's what he says. There is a natural temptation to act in anger, impatience, or without concern for the soul of the opponent. But harsh, arrogant, or rude behavior wins no one. Listen to that again. Harsh, rude, arrogant behavior wins no one. Such attitudes repel people and cause them to harden their hearts against God. So when we confront those who are in error, we are to demonstrate our Lord's character and display the fruit of the Spirit, not the works of the flesh. That's hard. Because arrogance and rudeness and harshness might win in the short run, but it won't win in the long run. So, on the next point there, gentleness bears with failings, with the failings and brokenness of others. Can you name the failings and brokenness of others? I guarantee it. If I sat down with you and I said, where is your wife broken? Now, you might not use the word broken. If I sat down and said, where is your coworker broken? Where is your family broken? Where is this person broken? You could nail it off. But I have a hunch that people who know you could say, that's where they're broken, because we're all broken. And so you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, where we were in a moment ago. It says, bearing with that with other people. Unity, building the unity, that's the goal. The passage says, bear with one another. In verse 3 of Ephesians 4, verse 2, it says that it's the Spirit who moves us to stay in that relationship. Are you the kind that when trouble comes, you just run off and say, forget it. I'm done with this marriage. I'm done with this family. I'm done with this relationship. I'm done. Whatever it is, do we just say, no, that's it? Now, I told you I was going to give you a couple of examples. David. Would anybody say David was a weak guy? You know, I think David probably killed, literally, with his own hands, more people than he could count. I just believe that. David probably ended many battles covered in human blood. The battles in those days were gruesome. And yet David, he was a strong guy. He knew how to fight. He knew how to strategize. He knew how to bring death. And yet when Saul is pursuing him, David is standing over Saul one night, and he can pin Saul to the ground. Saul is dead wrong. Saul deserves punishment. Saul deserves to have it just brought down on his head. And all David has to do is pick up the spear, pin him to the ground. And yet he doesn't. At another time, while Saul is trying to kill David, David's in this cave. He's hiding out. Saul comes in. He doesn't know that David's in the cave, and Saul sits down to, as the Bible says, relieve himself. And David is hiding out. He's so close to Saul that he can literally reach up and cut off the corner of his robe. He can kill Saul, but he doesn't. That is gentleness. That is meekness, strength under control. It doesn't mean you're afraid. It doesn't mean you're weak. It doesn't mean that you could not do some severe damage. But it does mean that you choose by the Spirit not to. That's how we win people to Christ. That's how we win people who are already in Christ to come closer to Christ. David, a shepherd warrior, that mix of iron and velvet. The Apostle Paul, he was a driver. He was a man who got a lot of things done. I have a feeling that if you were with the Apostle Paul, he'd wake you up in the middle of the night and say, let's go. He was a guy who'd wake you up early in the morning. He would say that when you're tired and you're weak, he'd say, we got to go. We got a plan here. And yet here's what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, but we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. There is a bond between a mother and a baby that I can't describe and, well, I can't understand. But Paul, this driver, this type A personality, this get-it-done personality, what does he do? He sits there and he says, you know what, we're gentle. I want to tell you just a hazard for gentle people. If you're a gentle person, there will be times when you do get walked over. There will be times when people run roughshod over you, and you look like you don't win in the present. Remember Christ. Remember Jesus Christ walked over by Pharisees and Sadducees and his own disciples and the chief priests and the elders, his entire nation, but in the end, who wins? Our Lord Jesus. And we win as well because of him. So gentleness is not something that a lot of people are clamoring for. Gentleness and meekness are character traits, though, that God wants us to possess. He wants us to be strong. But Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Happy are the meek, is what he says. There's a great reward for meekness. And so I again ask you, are you a gentle person? Let me tell you how you know you're not a gentle person. If you give into that first inclination to crush somebody, if you're violent, if you're rash in your anger, if you hurt the people that you should protect, if you're desperate to control other people's behavior, if you're filled with hatred toward other people, if you speak uncontrollably and rashly and verbally accost other people, not being willing to listen to what are they saying, if you simply can't or won't trust God, at the underlying root of gentleness and meekness is, I trust God. I don't have to control everything. I just have to rest in Him. Would you bow your heads? Are you winning in the long run? Winning in relationships? I'm not asking you if you're perfect because I already know the answer. And isn't it nice to know you don't have to be perfect? Join the club. Jesus Christ offers atonement and forgiveness for you. And those words that you'd like to take back or those actions where all at once you just exploded and you don't know where that came from. And you wonder later, how can I undo the damage? Listen, daily walk with gentleness. Daily walk with meekness. Look to Jesus Christ who loves you and gave himself for you. If you don't know Jesus personally, then come to Jesus today. Right where you are, open your heart, receive him into your life. Father, as we come this morning, we recognize that we naturally tend towards selfishness and rudeness, and yet this is not living worthy of the gospel. We want to talk about reaching people. We want to talk about going out and doing great things for Christ, and yet we don't so much want to deal with our own stuff. So help us, Lord. We all kind of know what to do, but the doing of it is where we need your help. Help us, Lord, to depend upon you. Lord, in whatever relationship here this morning, I pray that right now by the Spirit you'd bring to mind the situation that needs to be reconciled. The husband, wife, father, son, co-workers, friends, church people. I pray that we would be reconciled first to you and then to each other. For it's in Christ's strong name that we pray.